Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. We thank you that we have life in him. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And we ask that as we look at your word today, that you would open each of our hearts to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Open our hearts, Lord, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we read, when I think it was Ken was reading, we read about the bowls of wrath that will be poured out on the earth. And some of those things that we read about, the judgment of sores, the sea turning to blood, I think it was the rivers and springs turning to blood. And next week in the reading, we're going to be reading about men scorched with fire, given a plague of darkness. There's going to be a great earthquake. This is God's judgment that will one day be on the earth, God's judgment. And I think this is one aspect of God's character that we often forget, the fact that he is a God of justice and therefore judges with his wrath. This is often overlooked. Instead, many of us think of him as only a God of love. And so when people that think of him as only a God of love hear scriptures that talk of God's justice and wrath, they say, how can a God judge his people like this and still be a God of love? Yet God's justice, even though it is denied and overlooked by many, is a reality. And we all need to be aware of this, each person. There are two types of people in the world. Both types of these people are on their way to one of two places. Some people are on their way to heaven, and there are others that are on their way to eternal judgment in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Everyone in this room is headed to one of these two places. We don't like to talk about this very often, but it's a reality. In Hebrews 9 it says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Everyone here needs to understand the justice of God. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that the thought of God's wrath and judgment makes you a little afraid. Proverbs says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When I was a little boy, I went to a vacation Bible school, and there was a man talking, and I don't know, he may have given the gospel, but I remember the only thing I heard was hell. And he looked us right in the eye, and he kind of got us all scared, and he said, just think of the worst pain you've ever felt. And our eyes kind of bulged out, and he said, hell is worse than that. He said, just think of the worst pain you've ever felt. And he said, hell is worse than that. He said a little more dramatically than I did. But I remember just really, that was the first time I really understood that hell is not a nice place to be and that I wouldn't want to go there. And I'm glad I heard this because it made me realize that Jesus is not just the sweet child in the manger. This fear of God's judgment is good because it makes people see their need for salvation. What does it mean to get saved? What does that mean? It means saved from eternal judgment in the lake of fire. Yes, it means going to heaven. It means going to heaven, but first we need to be delivered from judgment, and then we have access to heaven. God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming, and when it comes, there's no opportunity for repentance. Look at verse 11, what we'll be seeing next week in this our Bible reading. It says, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. What does it say? Does it say that those being judged fall down on their knees in repentance? No. It says they blaspheme God. And at the end it says they did not repent of their deeds. You know, judgment is coming. But did you notice something? This judgment that the scripture talks about has not yet arrived. It's not here yet. If any of you feel uncomfortable, I know a lot of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, but if you feel uncomfortable, the judgment has not come yet. It's coming, but it's not here yet, and that means everyone in this room, everyone, has the opportunity to escape God's judgment. Why? Because God is long-suffering and has brought us to this very moment in time. Those dreadful bowls of judgment that we read about have not begun. And now is the time of God's long-suffering and a time of opportunity for every person to come to know the Lord Jesus. God in love wants to draw every person, all, to himself. Some of us here he has delivered. Some of us here he has delivered from judgment. And when we read of God's wrath in Scripture, we should be filled with overflowing thanksgiving. Overflowing thanksgiving to God for delivering us from judgment. And we should be filled with hearts of prayer for those who have not yet come to know our Savior as their Savior. So some have been delivered. Others here maybe have not been delivered from God's judgment. And the scripture says that you are yet in your sins. So when you read scriptures of God's judgment, it should bring fear. I don't like to scare people. It's not my intention to scare people. It'd be nice to be able to tell everyone that everything will be okay. And just be sincere in what you believe and let the rest to God. But this is not the gospel. What is the gospel? It's that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. Only Jesus Christ is the one who died for our sins. We can't get to heaven by our works, by our religion, by anything that we can do. Scripture says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There are many religious messages that you may have heard, messages that try to make you feel good, messages that don't offend. But the messages like this are not the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. If they're not the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, these messages can't save you. God's judgment is coming, and this should show us our need. Our need for the Lord Jesus. Our need for eternal life. And our need to come to him, to come to him in repentance. Turn with me now to our text, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. And this section, it talks of God's long-suffering and his coming judgment. And as we read this, notice that God does not desire for people to go to hell. We've got to get this out of our minds, that God's desire is for people to go to hell. This is not true. In Ezekiel, the Lord says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And God desired for Israel to repent and turn to him in faith, and God desires for everyone here to turn to him in repentance. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Judgment is coming. Therefore, we need to pay attention. God's long-suffering towards the world of sinners is not without end. he's long-suffering, but there's a limit. We each have a time of grace that God has given us. Let us read, starting at verse 1 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. That word stir up can kind of can be translated wake up, to wake up your pure minds, or your pure minds, your unmixed minds, by way of reminder. Even though we've heard these things many times, it's good for us to be reminded of them. Because even if you have already received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we often forget that there are those around us, maybe people in our very family, that do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to see from Scripture that God does judge. There is coming a day when there will actually be people on either side, either in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ or in the eternal lake of fire. And I think sometimes I forget about this. I forget that there are people that I love very dearly that if they don't come to know the Lord Jesus, they are going to be eternally lost. And I think we need to be reminded of this so that we... each person is responsible for themselves. I mean, they will have to answer to God, but we want to do everything we can to pray for them, to encourage them. When God opens the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ with them, so we need to stir up our minds by way of reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. This is nothing new. The prophets long ago were preaching the same message. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Both the apostles, the prophets of long ago, they preached the same message. Verse 3, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Scoffers, what's a scoffer? Someone who laughs, mocks, makes fun of. Is this happening now? Many people, when you give the gospel, they think we're strange, or they think we're weird. Scoffers, they come the last day walking according to their own lusts, whatever their lusts may be. Whatever they feel is right, they walk according to that. And what do they say? Verse 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They say, those people have been saying that for years. God's judgment hasn't come. Why will it come? Because you say it will come. They say, where is the promise of his coming? They are doubting what? The judgment of the Lord. But God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment. Jesus said, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Just because God doesn't judge, because people get away with things now, doesn't mean that God doesn't see it. Doesn't mean that God doesn't care. God does judge. So these people are doubting the judgment of the Lord. They say things, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They say, all the prophets, they're all dead. Everything's continuing. They think God doesn't care. But yet God does care. And verse 5, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. What is this talking about? Remember the account in the Bible Noah and the flood. God judged the whole world. And how many were saved? Just Noah and his family. Just the eight of them. And just as God judged once, you know, he's going to judge again. The first time after he judged, he gave the promise of the rainbow that he wasn't going to judge again with water. But he didn't say he wasn't going to judge the world again. See in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So not only is God going to send scorching fire to the earth during the tribulation, like we read in Revelation 16, he's going to destroy the earth with fire. And it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Revelation 20, 15, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. It states, to me, this is the most frightening words of Scripture. It says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." To me, those are the most frightening words that have ever been written in Scripture. People being eternally lost. Why are we here? Why are you still here? Why is God long-suffering? Is he just storing up wrath towards all of us? No. God is not just storing up. He is storing up wrath, but that's not the only reason for his long-suffering. He's long-suffering. Let's read on. "Beloved, do not forget this one thing," verse 8, "that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." You know, God's not bound by time like we are. One day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So the world's been around just for about a week in God's eyes. He's not bound to time like we are. It seems like God doesn't care. God's letting things go on. Why does God let all the suffering go on? It's just been a short time in God's thinking. But verse 9, it's a beautiful verse. A beautiful verse. Let's read it together. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness." He's not just overlooking things. Says, "but is long-suffering toward us." He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is what God's desire is. This is why God is allowing things to go on. He wants more and more people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. And his desire is for us to be with him, for us to have eternal life. He's not willing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. He paid a big price for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he paid it all. We sing that hymn, "Jesus paid it all." When Jesus Christ was on the cross, Every sin that we've ever committed, past, present, and future, was laid on him. It's poured out on him and judged. The scripture says Christ died for our sins. He died. He was our substitute. Right now, we have the opportunity to escape God's judgment. Each and every one of us. All who place their trust in Jesus Christ, the scripture says, have been born again. They have passed from death to life. If you see yourself as a sinner who deserves God's judgment, Jesus says to you today, he says, "Come unto me, "All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls." If you're someone that's been trying your whole life to please God, to try to be good enough to get to heaven, I have something to tell you. You can't be good enough. All our righteousnesses, the scripture says, are like filthy rags before God. He's the only one worthy. Only Jesus Christ can save you, can save us. He is our salvation. He's our rock and our salvation. The scripture says in John, it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And then our passage in John 3:16, so many of us know this by heart, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then it goes on, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." God didn't send Jesus into the world to send us all to hell. He could have done that easy without sending his Son into the world. He sent his Son into the world. Let me go on. "He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is God's will for each and every one of us. It says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then in Hebrews 9, if you would turn there with me. Hebrews 9. I quoted this passage a couple times, but it doesn't end there. I was telling you, it is appointed for men to die once, and after that the judgment, but there's more to it. Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation." So just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He was judged. He was judged in your place. He was judged in my place. It's a shame that any person that has heard the gospel message would be in the lake of fire someday, because it doesn't need to be that way. Christ died for your sins. You can't stop that. Christ did it already. He died for your sins. He bore the sins of many. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He was judged in our place. All the things that we've ever done that make us unworthy to be in his presence, Christ paid for them. He paid for them all. He suffered for us. But he didn't stay in the tomb. If he stayed in the tomb, we'd all be without hope. What does it say in Scripture? He rose from the dead on the third day. He rose triumphantly from the grave. I love that hymn, "He Arose." "Up from the grave he arose." Do you know that one? It's one of my favorites, and it's such a beautiful hymn. "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the vast domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign." Beautiful words. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time. He's coming again. for us who believe, he's come appearing apart from sin for salvation. He's our deliverer. You know, this world is going to be destroyed someday, but he's our deliverer. We know he's promised us he's going to meet us in the air, in the clouds. For those of us who have believed on Christ as Savior, we've been delivered from eternal judgment. But what about your life right now? What about your life right now? Are there things in your life that are interfering with your relationship with the Lord? Do you feel like there's something, maybe, in your Christian walk that's hindering you? I know I feel like that often. We can't lose our salvation, but we certainly can lose our fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus stands at the door of our souls knocking. He wants to have intimate fellowship with each and every one of us, starting right now. I'm going to go over three things that I think often hinder us in our Christian walk. Do you have problems with a besetting sin? Maybe you have some sin in your life that keeps on coming up. Sin doesn't make us lose our salvation, but it certainly hinders our fellowship with God. And no wonder we're miserable when we're living continually in sin. There's a solution, though. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is something a promise that we have. We can confess it, and then we can move on, walking in the newness of life that we have in Christ. When Jesus gives confidence of forgiveness, he also says, every time he heals someone, he says, go and sin no more. But he doesn't expect us to do this on our own. No, he has placed the Holy Spirit inside of each of us. And we walk by the Spirit. And the scripture says, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit reminds us from the Word that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with our bodies. We died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also shall appear with him in glory. So if there's sin that's hindering you in your walk, confess it. And then flee from it and run. And run walking in the newness of life. Okay, another thing, the second one. If you aren't reading the Word and taking time to pray, no wonder you're miserable. I'm not reading the Word as much. I feel that something's wrong, and it is. The scripture says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many of you here eat more than once a week? I think we all do, don't we? We have to eat. I know some people, they miss one meal and they're about to pass out. And I think the same is true with our spiritual walk. We need not only the physical food, but it's a beautiful picture, our physical bodies, because we need spiritual food too. We need to take time with the Lord. And also, we need to take time to pray. If you talk to someone you live with once a week, and you're with them all the time, but you talk to them once a week, do you have a healthy relationship with that person? No. We need to communicate with a person to have a healthy relationship. And that's the same with God. You know, we're firm in Christ. We're held. He holds us. We're secure for salvation, but there's so much we're missing if we're not walking in that newness of life that is ours in Christ. So we need to take time to read the Word. There's so many things, we're always going to be too busy. There's always something that can take the place of it. And these things may not be sinful. And so we think, well, it's okay, I'm not sinning, but yet we're not taking time to read the Word and pray. So I challenge each of us to do this, and myself too. I go through the same problem. And a third thing that I think hinders us is, we've been delivered from eternal judgment, but have we been delivered from some bitterness that we have been holding inside? Maybe you have bitterness towards a believer. Maybe it's towards an unbeliever. What should you do? You should let it go. You should forgive and ask the Lord to help you let it go. Yes, maybe you're in the right, but we need to let the bitterness go. In Hebrews it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I think bitterness is a thing that destroys more relationships, more churches, more families. Bitterness is a terrible thing. And whenever you notice bitterness starting in your life, you need to confess it. Ask God to help you let this go. Help you to forgive. Bitterness, bitterness just doesn't affect ourselves. It affects everyone around us. What does this scripture say? It says, and by this many become defiled. It defiles many around because people start seeing you as a bitter person. You're walking around being bitter, holding a grudge against someone. And it shows. It shows. And maybe you start treating people in a bad way if you're bitter. And then they start thinking, well, they start whispering around, Can you imagine what this person is doing? He's being so bitter. Can you believe it? They start whispering. Whispering around, and before you know it, everyone's bitter against the bitter person. And it really can cause division and dissension. And so I think that's another thing, the third thing that I just want to share with you today. That if you see bitterness coming in your life, and we've all been there, I've been there, where it's hard to forgive someone or hard to forget about something, well, we have to pray for the Lord's strength in this. Because bitterness has no place in our lives. If anyone has the right for bitterness, it was Jesus. He was in the right all the way. He had done no wrong, Isaiah says. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he was judged for our sins. He suffered in our place, and he offers forgiveness and deliverance from eternal judgment. And he offers eternal life. And he's not bitter about this, even though we still don't deserve it. Even though he saved many of us, we still don't deserve it. He still is not bitter. He still is constantly wooing us back. He's not bitter, and neither should we. So, believers here, God is long-suffering with you, with us. If you are living in sin, what should you do? Confess it. Flee from it. And walk in the Spirit. If you are not reading the Word and praying, reading the Word of God, what should you do? Do it. Do it. Take the time and do it. And if you have bitterness in your life, what should you do? You should forgive. Ask the Lord to help you forgive the person and let it go. Just let it go. Even if they're wrong and you're right, doesn't matter. Just let it go. But if there is someone here that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God's long-suffering, his long-suffering is extended to you right now. Right now. He wants you to be delivered once and for all from the judgment that is coming. Remember what I said. The scripture says Christ died for your sins. There's nothing you can do to change that. He died for it. You just have to receive his free gift that he's offering you right now. Christ died for your sins in his own body on the tree. He had done nothing wrong. Nothing. But he took upon all himself all of your sins and was judged in your place because he loves you. He didn't want you to go to the lake of fire someday. That's why he came. That's why he left heaven's glory, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could share the joys of heaven, being in his presence. He wants you there with him. But we have to receive the gift. He offers it to you right now. He says, believe on me. Why do we need to take all these things seriously right now? Because verse 10, turn back to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. We need to take all these things seriously now, because the day of the Lord, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything's going to be burned. I don't know what some of you are living for. If you're living for something in this world, the scripture says it's going to be burned up, no matter what. It's not a problem to have these things in the world. We need to have a car. We need to have a house. We need to have a place to live and a job. But if this is your life, if your life is not Christ, if you're living for something in this world, I want you to know right now that there's going to come a day that everything in this world is going to be burned up. Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So what kind of people should we be? We should be people that aren't living for this world, because everything, it says, is going to be melted with fervent heat. All these things are passing away. Why should we want to live for something if we know it will one day be destroyed? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. God's long suffering is for your salvation. Why has he held back judgment? Because he wants more to be saved. And he wants more believers to start walking in fellowship with him. You know, we're only given this little bit of time. Just think of a long timeline from here all the way, just going on into infinity. For all of eternity, we have this one little speck of time here. Just think of this timeline from here all the way to infinity. We just have a little teeny bitty time spot. Maybe you live 20 years. Maybe you live 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 110 maybe. But what is that little time spot slot compared to all of eternity? we just have, if you're a believer, you only have this little time slot to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ walking by faith. Do you know a time is coming for all of eternity where we're going to see him face to face? But now is a time to walk by faith. And the decisions we make have eternal consequences. We're secure in Jesus Christ. We can't lose our salvation. But don't allow your fellowship with the Lord to be broken. We need to walk in that newness of life that we have in him. We have this opportunity to walk by faith right now. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this little itty-bitty time to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I can't guarantee you tomorrow. I can't guarantee you another hour of life. The Lord Jesus knows how long he's given you. But today is the day of salvation. The scripture says, don't wait. Don't wait. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you're not assured that you have been delivered from eternal judgment, you just call out to the Lord Jesus. He died for your sins. He'll save any person. The sinner that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He's never rejected a sinner that's come to him. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Jesus Christ rose again victoriously from the grave, and he offers you eternal life right now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can call you Heavenly Father. We know it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. He died for all of them. He died, he said, it is finished. The work was done. We thank you that we have eternal life simply through faith in him. No works of our own, nothing that we can do, no religion, no trying hard. It's only by your grace are we saved, and we thank you, Lord. And Father, we pray for any person here this morning that does not have this assurance that they, if they would die today, that they would be in with you. We pray that you would show them that Jesus died for them. And I pray that we pray for them to come to know you as their personal Savior. And we ask this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.